Hey, hi, hello, and welcome back to another installment of International Index on UCC's 98.3 FM. My name is Keane McDonough, and today I'm joined in studio by two very special guests representing Argentina. So I'm joined with Catalina and Amy, who are our representatives today. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Catalina, I'm 22. I moved here around like a year and a bit ago, been living in Argentina for the better part of 21-ish years, and I only just moved here.
Hi, my name is Amy. As you might be able to tell from my accent, I'm Irish, but my mother is from Argentina, so I'm Irish-Argentinian. I grew up here and I was born here, but I have gone back to Argentina for at least a month of every year of my childhood, so I think it's a pretty big part of my identity.
Absolutely. So Argentina, country in South America, huge, huge population. A lot of European people moved to Argentina. Like, it's got a very European history in it. Do you want to maybe describe for the listeners a little bit about Argentina, maybe what it's like, where it is, all the major facts about Argentina, just get them out there.
Well, it's down south. So it borders Chile. It borders a lot of countries, but it's right under Brazil. And there's a lot of European population, yes. Mostly it's Italian and Spanish, on my experience anyway. Most of my friends, myself included, we all have Italian grandparents at the very least.
Yeah. I was reading a lot of immigrants in the 18th century from Italy moved, and now 50% of the population is descended from Italian people. So it's really kind of almost a marriage of the two cultures, in a sense, in Argentina then.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It's the same in my family. I think going back, they're all Spanish or Italian. And actually, because of the massive influence of different cultures in Argentina, there's a word for it. They call it criolla, which is representative of a mix of cultures, and that's where it stands. So there are a lot of slang words that would be derived from Italian. I think a lot of the body language would be very Italian, and you know, it was a Spanish colony as well, so some of that is definitely carried through. We'd speak a very old form of Spanish.
Yeah, I was reading you use some old slang that they don't even use in Spain anymore.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It's very funny.
Absolutely. And but there's still native heritage there, especially on the flag. The Sol de Mayo is the famous star on the flag. That's from the sun god of the native communities and stuff.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that? Yeah. No, it's like fascinating country reading about it. It's huge. You don't realize like how central in the world it is until you start looking into it. I feel like in Ireland, we have a very kind of almost American, like the USA focused. We never really think about South America that much. Mm. But Argentina, 41 million people, like loads of Germans, loads of Italians. Like it's really, really cool. And I'm right in saying you're both from Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
Do you wanna maybe give me a rundown on Buenos Aires? What does it feel like?
It depends on where you're from. In fairness, I'm from the suburbs, so I grew up in the suburbs. But I would go to like what you call like the city center regularly on like weekend trips, and then when I went into college, like I had to go every single day. I really do like the city center. Like I like the suburbs because it was like my school was there, and like the pool I went to over the summer was there, and like all my friends were there. So it's a small place. It's more similar to Cork than maybe like the big city. I feel like you know more people in the suburbs, but I enjoy the city more. I like there's all the theaters there and the cinemas. And like the museums, and I do really appreciate the whole parts of the country. Like that's what I really miss, and I also like really, really appreciate about Argentina, like the culture, and it's like the epicenter of culture, the city, I feel like.
Yeah, it feels very cultured, like researching it. You really love your dancing, dressing very finely, like the music and stuff, and very beautiful buildings from like almost European looking in a sense. Mm. What about yourself, Amy, your experiences of Buenos Aires?
So my mum is from the capital, within the capital. So that's where I would go for a month every year of my childhood. And I think we weren't in such a built up area of the capital. So it was definitely, they had, you know, neighborhood spirit and community mm. when she was growing up. But going out into the massive city, what was once the widest avenue in the world, La Nueva de Julio,
mm-hmm.
It was just incredible. You know, I used to go out as a kid at nighttime and I'd want my granddad to drive us around so to see the city lights, because it's so different from anything you'd ever have here. Or one of my favorite memories is that my mum's cousin lives, you know, on the 20th floor of an apartment building, and the tallest building in Ireland only has 18 stories. Yeah. So, you know, it's just on a different scale, but it's so big. And it's so worth getting to know. It has so many beautiful parts, so many beautiful buildings, so many nice people, so much culture.
Yeah, of course. I was reading about it. It's a very loud city, lots of people, very energetic people. Mm-hmm. and like the bar, I was reading the bars and nightclubs stay open until about 7 or 8 in Buenos Aires. That's because I think the culture, correct me if I'm wrong here, you have dinner around 9, 10 o'clock.
Right.
And then... Yeah. You don't really start going out until like 1. So yeah. Very late nights and stuff, which is just seems super cool. Like, what?
Well, it was like a really big culture shock for me when I came here, because I was so used to going out late.
Yeah.
And if you go late here, you have like 3 hours and then you have to go home, right?
Of course, yeah.
Because everything was like 2:30-ish.
Mm.
And I'm so used to like getting to the club at 2:30-ish. So it's, I don't know if I... per se misses, because it was like really tiring and exhausting, and I'm not big on clubs, I'm more of a bar person anyway.
Absolutely.
But if having the choice to like have dinner at a restaurant like at 10 o'clock, I do miss that, because like I'm a really lazy person as well, but you know. But yeah, like the nightlife is really vibrant, I'd say.
Yeah, no, it seems incredible. It really makes me kind of want to go. It's almost like Spanish nightlife. I think Irish people would be familiar with that. A lot of us go holiday in Spain, but like just on another level, just, you know, even more like outgoing and very, very, very interesting. I've been listening to a lot of music for this episode. I have this next one by Sandro called Rosa Rosa that Amy sent on to me. You're laughing at me. It's a funny one. But so here's a little bit of music. We're going to talk more about Argentina after the break.
Rosa, rosa tan maravillosa, como blanca diosa, como flor hermosa, tu amor me condena a la dulce pena de sufrir. Rosa, rosa, dame de tu boca esa furia loca que mi amor provoca, que me causa llanto por quererte tanto solo a ti. Ay, rosa, rosa, pide lo que quieras, pero nunca pidas que mi amor se muera. Si algo ha de morir, moriré yo por ti. Ay, rosa, rosa, pide lo que quieras, pero nunca pidas que mi amor se muera. Si algo ha de morir, moriré yo por ti. Sueños, ay dueño de tu amor quiero ser. Ay, dame de tu ayer las heridas, vida junto a mí este tener. Ay, ay, rosa, rosa, eres orgullosa y sin contemplarme tu fe se destroza. Mientras tanto yo agonizo por ti. Ay, rosa, rosa, pide lo que quieras, pero nunca pidas que mi amor se muera. Si algo ha de morir, moriré yo por ti. Ay, rosa. De tener, ay, ay, rosa, rosa, eres orgullosa y sin contemplarme tu fe se destroza. Mientras tanto yo agonizo por ti. Ay, ay, rosa, rosa, pide lo que quieras, pero nunca pidas que mi amor se muera. Si algo ha de morir, moriré yo por ti, moriré yo por ti, moriré yo por ti. Ay, rosa, rosa, ay, rosa, 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 rosa.
Hello and welcome back to International Index. You're listening to UCC's 98.3 FM. And today we're covering Argentina on the show. We have two very special guests. I have Catalina and Amy. We're talking all things Argentina. So, Catalina, I kind of wanted just to ask you about maybe some of the staples of an Argentinian childhood growing up, some of the cultural things maybe that are so normal there, but then it's very different here.
I feel like what I found, at least in my growing up, is when I talk to people here, is we tend to do a lot of trips for some reason. Like when, well, my secondary and my primary school, I went to the same school, right? And for when I finished primary and when we finished secondary, we went on a trip, and it was both times was south of country. First time was Puerto Madryn, then we went to Bariloche when I was like 17, but I don't know if that's a common thing or if it was just a me thing, or I know like some schools in the area would do that, but I remember going on trips fairly often, and we'd do that, but also like I feel like on a more like regular basis. I remember the World Cup being really, really big when I was, I think World Cup was when I was like 12 or like 13, and we'd not skip school, but we'd watch the World Cup in school or like sports. I feel like that's mainly a thing. And my high school experience, my secondary experience was like different from what I've spoken to people here, because I went to a bilingual high school. So it was, I went there for a long time. So you got, like from 8 to 5, I'd been caught in school. And the main thing is you get to choose your orientation when you're about like 15-ish, and you get to go, it's like, I went into the humanities, and you have like orientation-specific subjects. That's a school experience anyway.
Absolutely,
but I feel like it's different from what I've
very
heard.
Very cool. You can kind of specialize very early. Yeah. So, yeah. And Amy, like growing up in Ireland, going back to Argentina like every year,
yeah,
you know, did you feel life was very different when you went back to Argentina? How did things feel?
I think people there are just so different that everything seems very different. I even went to school for Argentina for a brief period when I was about 5 or 6. And I think what was a big shock was that the school days in primary school are so much longer. So here, you know, in primary school, it's 9 to 2:30 usually, and secondary is 9 to 4. And there it's the other way around. So in primary school, you're in until 4 o'clock and you're really tired. But it's just everything so different. So we'd have an hour to go home for lunch and your parents would come and collect you. I found that very different. And I just, the culture, how people interact, actually, when how people say hello is so different even. So when you go up to someone that you'd have met once or twice, or is an acquaintance or a friend of a friend, you go up and you give them a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
But in Ireland, I think if you did that, people wouldn't even know how to react. They'd be so shell-shocked.
We should run an experiment.
Yes.
I think that happened to me.
Yeah, I think that was... I didn't even plan to say this, but this is like one of the things... I'm quite a nerdy guy. I like facts and stuff. And I think they were like social scientists or whatever. I'm not sure. They ran an experiment on people sitting at a dinner table across from each other, and how much like they make contact with each other, like touch each other's hands or whatever. And I think Argentinian people touch each other a lot. They're very like very close, very friendly. And I think Irish people and English people were the people who did not touch each other, even when they're like couples across from each other.
They did another study as well of personal space.
Yeah.
And the amount of distance people allow between each other when they're standing next to each other. And Argentina scored the least of about 40 centimeters or something. And Irish people scored the most of nearly a meter in between people. So I was a massive shock when I went back the summer, or, you know, acclimatizing to each, because I'm not used to it here. And then the minute I go over, you know, everyone's just so much closer to you in such a normal way. You know, it's not seen as anything indicative of anything. It's just how people are.
It's very healthy.
And
I
you
think,
miss
yeah.
that social contact as well. I miss it when I come back, that people are so scared to touch each other, you know.
Yeah, no, that's like, I think just the vibe is almost very different. But Argentina, huge country, mm-hmm. absolutely massive. Like Ireland, we're very small. The climate doesn't change much. Whereas in Argentina, like you go from rainforest and desert and rainforest in the north and like very humid conditions, right down to deserts, plainlands, then right down to glaciers as well. And you have the tropics and then you have mountains and everything. Have you traveled much around Argentina yourselves? Because I know I want to.
I've been to a few places. I feel like if you go outside of the province, the usual thing is Mendoza, Córdoba. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been to Iguazu Falls. So that's Misiones.
Yeah.
Up north. That was really humid, really warm.
Yeah. Córdoba is like the second biggest city in Argentina, is it? Is it? It's quite a big city.
Mm.
Yeah, next to Buenos Aires. I watched a little documentary. Apparently, Cordova people are good at telling long jokes. That was something they said about them. So they're good at waffling, apparently.
Yes.
And a lot of German immigration there. They have the third biggest beer festival in the world in Cordova.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have kind of an Oktoberfest every year, apparently. So
Back to that, I think Argentine people in general are very good at waffling. I don't think you'll find a more charming society Argentine, because they're not, you know, too much or too little. They're just so vibrant.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it seems like it's very colorful in a sense. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know, like just getting the vibe off, it's like, whoa, color.
It is just the way you speak as well. I feel like we're really like creative with language, if that makes sense.
Mm. No, absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just back to people like immigrating and stuff. Like 45 million people, a lot of people are European descended. There's like a saying, Argentinians are from the boats, come from the boats. So like does that bleed in a lot into the Argentinian culture? Do you feel very European, or does it feel more, is it kind of a separate entity in a sense?
I don't think you feel European per se. It's just, say, I went to Italy not long ago,
yeah.
and I felt really at home to an extent. Not only because of, like, obviously late nights, and, like, they open late as well, but just the whole, like, culture. My day is really similar to maybe an Italian day.
Yeah, absolutely.
On my house, because you eat at a certain time, and then you have like your 5 o'clock tea, for instance, merienda, that's what you call it. Mm-hmm. So it's like at 5, 6, you usually have dinner here, I'd say. You have like a little snack in between. And that, like, the food schedule, if you will, that was really similar to what I remember back home. And also, like, I don't speak Italian, but I can get myself across with just my hand gestures and my, like, the way I speak. And I feel like that's mainly what bled into the culture, like
absolutely,
the way of speaking, the slang. A lot of slang words are just Italian words. The slang word for beer, just birra, and that's just beer in Italian. Like
absolutely, yeah. I was reading about there was Welsh immigrants into Argentina, and now there's in Patagonia, there's a province, there 150 people arrived off a boat from Wales.
Yeah.
And now 5,000 people in Patagonia speak Welsh like fluently, and they have like Welsh buildings. It's like this little corner of the world. And it's like, you know, like these little like these little like enclaves of people, and you're like, whoa, you wouldn't, just out of the ordinary, you wouldn't expect it at all. I was thinking after this next song, which I'm gonna throw on, which I think I'm gonna throw on Las
Dinosaurios.
There you go.
That's about the dictatorship.
About the dictatorship.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. By Charlie Garcia.
Yeah.
Catalina, a big fan of Charlie Garcia, I think. So we're going to throw this on. We might talk a little bit more about food and just Argentina in general after the break. So enjoy this song.
Yeah.
dad was Los Dinosaurs by Charlie Garcia.
Yes.
So Catalina was telling me a little off air all about that song, and apparently it's really, really relevant to Argentinian culture, talking about the dictatorship, you know, the suppression of arts at the time during the Argentinian dictatorship. Do you want to maybe explain the cultural context of that and that song in particular?
Yeah, so essentially, late 70s, early 80s, there was a dictatorship in Argentina. The military took over the government. And obviously, the arts were targeted, as that's usually the case. So obviously, censorship was at an all-time high. So artists had to like come up with different ways or like be subliminal about their messaging. And Charlie Garcia, and there's a lot of musicians like.
Yeah, I think one thing you sent me on a bunch of music to listen to, and like there's just so much really, really good music from Argentina.
Such a wonderful
such a tapestry that I hadn't even heard of before this, and now I have to go back and explore it all. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
It's such a great music scene, but me personally, I'm a really big Garcia fan. And this song in particular, Los Dinosaurios, translates to the dinosaurs. And it talks about the disappearances that happened during the dictatorship. So the number that's thrown around is it's 30,000 people disappeared, were disappeared by the government. So people were kidnapped, tortured. There was a trial right after. There's a film on it. It's called Argentina 1985. Was nominated for the Oscars last year. And it's a wonderful film, but this song in particular, it talks about how people will disappear, like the lyrics goes like people will disappear, so your friends will disappear, can disappear, your wife might disappear, your husband might disappear, but the dinosaurs will disappear. So the dinosaurs are dictators. That's how he refers to them in this particular song. And this song was playing at the time, so like it was, I'd say subliminal enough or smart enough to be played, and the message got across.
Yeah,
so it says it's almost like a message of hope, because there's this one lyric that goes, "Cuando el mundo tira para abajo, es mejor no estar atado a nada." That means when the world pulls you down, it's better to like not be like tied to anything. And it's essentially, to me, a message of hope in the midst of like a really somber like panorama, right? And I feel like all art and all culture has been like really affected by. It's such an important thing to everyone, because I didn't live through it. My parents did, and you're young, and you're taught about it. And I remember I was really young. It was at the dinner table, and my parents told me there was this thing that happened when we were young, and I knew people that were disappeared. Like my parents were really young, but they knew older people, cousins that did disappear. And there's a whole lot of people who don't know who their grandparents are, who their parents are. There's an organization, Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo. That's Plaza de Mayo, like grandmothers who are looking for their kids, because some women were pregnant during their kidnappings, and those kids disappeared because they were adopted or given away. So I feel like art tackling that in such a smart and such a wonderful way is so like intrinsic to the culture.
Yeah, that's so interesting the way it's kind of almost bled into your culture now. It's become really, really ingrained in it. Like I think a lot of countries have history, but and we don't have time. Like it's such a complex, it's such a complex thing. I'd love to be able to tackle it all, but unfortunately can't. And I would tell anyone out there who's interested just to read up on Argentinian history and everything, because there's a lot going on there. Like the Somalian episode last week, like there's such a such a rich history there, just to read into it. But on a lighter note, we might chat a little bit about food, because I feel like food and your eating culture and drinking culture is a huge part of who you are. Like I think Ireland is somewhere that food is not that interesting. No offense to all the Irish people out there. I just don't like. I think food isn't really part of our culture that much. It's like, oh, we eat, like, even like when you see people eating at work, like we all kind of just rush eat. And whereas I feel like in Argentina, it's a real part of who you are, is how you eat, when you eat, like Italian culture, like, you know, a lot of countries have this. Well, explain.
I feel like it's less about the food and it's more of a social thing. I remember I went to eat, I went to have lunch by myself a few months ago, and I was like reading or like doing whatever, and I saw people sit down, like two people sit down, eat and leave. And you don't talk after. Like, I feel like it's such a cultural, it's not only about the food, obviously the food, yeah, you have like customary foods, right? But it's more of a social thing more than anything. You have this thing called sobremesa. So it's a word that means the thing you do after you eat. So you eat and you stay there to chat. So I stayed to chat for like hours after my meal. Like,
Yeah. Whereas here you don't. A big thing for me is the traditional food. I love it.
Well, when you were growing up, obviously your mother's Argentinian. Growing up in an Irish household, how did the Argentinian culture like?
I never have eaten Sunday dinners on a regular basis. My mom's the one who cooks at home, so we actually eat a lot of Italian food, a lot of Spanish food. These would be foods that everyone in Argentina who is of that descent would eat. She learned from her Italian granny how to cook. You know, these amazing, her bolognese is unmatched. You know, it's amazing. The lasagna she makes is really good. But I definitely, we don't find the same cuts of meat here. So there's a very traditional food called una milanesa. And la milanesa is a thin strip of meat that's then battered in eggs and breadcrumbs and then fried. Wow. I think it is my favorite food of the Argentine savory food. And I eat it, I think I ate it every day when I went back to Argentina. Good, but you don't get it here.
I try to make it and it is a meat thing. You don't find the same cuts at all.
Yeah,
and I don't know how to ask for them in fairness. That's a meat thing. But
they don't sell them here. All those cuts go into minced meat here, whereas there you eat them.
Yeah.
And then a big social thing is mate.
I want to call you out on this because I'm being slowly addicted to mate.
Yes.
I'm gonna start having to buy my own soon. It's a bad addiction.
How about the English market?
In the English market, yeah.
Yes. So
explain for the listeners. Yeah.
Bringing mate into college and giving it to Kian and converting him. So my mate breaks have become our mate breaks.
Yeah, yeah. I have to seek you out on campus, just shaking, needing some caffeine. Like.
Yes. So mate is like a loose herb that you would put into a special type of container called a gourd in English, the mate. It's traditionally made out of a hollowed out little pumpkin. I use a metal one to bring into college. You know, times have changed. And you drink it through a special type of straw called a bombilla. So you put the bombilla, and there's a very particular method of how to drink mate.
People get annoying.
Oh, yes.
It's almost a religion in a sense.
It is, because I think people would have it at least once a day, if not multiple times a day. Mm. And it's very much so a social thing. So the way I got into it was when I went to Argentina, and this summer I made some friends with some surfers, and they really brought me into their whole friend group. And one of the big things was sitting down and drinking mate all together on the beach. So you'd put the yerba in, which is the loose herb, you put in some hot water and you sip away on the mate. And it's actually a better source of caffeine. I suppose it is very similar to caffeine chemically, but it is called matine. And it is better because it releases slower.
Yeah. So it's a slow release caffeine over time.
Slow release caffeine.
And a lot of footballers drink it now as well.
It's a
lot of Argentinian footballers would drink it. Yeah.
The Argentine team before the World Cup would drink it.
Yeah.
It's such a social thing as well. Like, I'm not a drinker. I'm not such a big drinker on my own because it gives me terrible headaches. Like really, really bad ones.
Yeah.
So I don't drink it myself, but I enjoy the whole like folklore around like mate.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college back home, I go to college at night, right? Because I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend of mine, she, bless her, she's fastidious about it, like annoying about it. So she wouldn't let anyone pour it by herself. She wouldn't let me pour it, of all people, because I don't drink it. But she'd pour it and she's really particular about it. But she'd pass it around the whole classroom. So we'd be having class and she'd pass it around. Even the professor would have some as well. And it's such a social thing. It was a bad choice to do that night as well because I couldn't sleep after, but like, here, it's fun.
Got you through college anyway.
Got me through college.
Exactly, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And is there other, like, Amy was really kind the other day and brought in some confectionery, some sweet treats.
I brought in a vaquita and mantecol.
I missed that. Oh, so much. Where you get that even?
We brought it with us back. Yeah.
Is there anywhere in Cork or even in Ireland where you could go buy some Argentinian food if the listeners out there were desperate to get their hands on some of this stuff?
I have heard from a man in Bundoran, a Chilean man in Bundoran. We went for a surf weekend away, and in the kitchen I see amate and sherva just in the kitchen, and I hadn't brought my own, and I think I was so happy to see it. I was also a bit homesick in a sense, because it is home for me. My family is there in Argentina. Mm-hmm. That I got so excited, and I asked him where this Chilean man, where he got it, and he told me there was a South American shop in Dublin where he got the mate. Now, I don't know if they sell other foods. He said they sell traditional South American foods, but,
I'd say,
it might not encompass a lot of the Argentinian foods. But so we just stockpile on Argentinian foods when we come back. Yeah. And my granny comes over every year, and I think she brings about 5 kgs of dulce de leche with her. It looks a bit suspicious, I imagine, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it gets the job done, of course.
Yes.
So we're gonna dive back into some music here, because I've really been enjoying the musical, the Argentinian sounds. So this song is Bajan, I want to say. It's by Spinita.
Ah,
sí. Yeah.
Sí, yes.
So this is a really cool song. Give it a listen, and we'll be back after this break. and welcome back to International Index with me, Keane McDonough. So it is 43 minutes past 11 o'clock and you join me here in studio. We're joined in studio with Catalina and Amy because we're talking all things Argentina today. One thing I want to talk about, I know we've touched on it a little bit already, is the music and just kind of the music scene of South America in general, and specifically Argentina. You were talking a little bit about the charts a little bit earlier, and about this song in particular.
Well, for context, like when I got approached for the show, Kim was like, "Can you send me music?" I was like, "You don't want to get into this." Like, I sent him, like, God bless him, I sent him like my full playlist, two of my playlists.
No, I was really enjoying them. Yeah. I was vibing. I was listening to them in the car with my mom this morning on the way over. We were having a blast.
Choice as well. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
But one thing I was like thoughtful about was I was sending him old music, or like what you call dad music anyway,
because I'm into Argentinian dad rock.
It is that one, Spinet, that we were just listening to. My dad's such a big fan, like annoyingly to some as well. Like, he's such a big fan. But current charts, I feel like it's more of I don't want to say mainstream. Like, that sounds makes me sound like really annoying, but like such a mainstream like club music, but there's an actual like really nice scene right now in Argentina. It's more of a, I wouldn't say underground again because that's, but it's less known. It's not like chart music, but it's like artists like Dillom or Woz or like Blair. I don't know, like there's a lot of artists right now that are making really nice music and I do enjoy them. But if you want to go like big with like some really nice type of music, is Argentine rock, or how we call it, like national rock. So main, and it was such a big scene, right? Because they all knew each other. And for instance, your man Spinetta, he had like a lot of different bands, and he would play with Charlie Garcia as well. And Charlie Garcia knew Gustavo Cerati, who's from Soda Stereo, and they played together. And then Fito Páez, who's another great artist, he played the piano for Charlie Garcia's band. So like they all know each other, and the music scene was so rich and so interesting and so experimental. I feel like. And it's worth giving a listen. I feel like there's this one show on Netflix now. It's about Fito Páez particularly, but it touches upon the whole music scene, and it's called El Amor Después del Amor, or Love After Love in English. And it's a miniseries, and it's such a wonderful one. And you get to see a lot of the artists, and the music is really, really great.
Yeah, like every show, I try to find like a direction to go with the music I'm listening to, and a lot of the times I look to the charts for music, just like, oh, I want to give a taste of what's the country listening to right now. But I feel like Argentina and South American music has become very reggaeton, very clubby.
Yeah,
that was one thing. Like, it's not that I don't have an issue with it, but I felt, you know, maybe it was kind of almost like a little bit of a modern fad. I wanted to give more of a sense of the country as a whole rather than just what was in the charts. So that's why I'm really enjoying listening to this kind of rock music and stuff. It's really just really cool.
I feel like as well on that note is there's nothing wrong with it. And I feel like it's enjoyable if you're going to go out.
Yeah.
But I feel like in comparison, I feel like given the current like political situation as well, I feel like we are lacking someone that's really outspoken on politics like we used to have. And I would like to see that, because I know there's people, like there's artists who will touch upon it, but I'd love to see it on the charts and be as famous as these people, like Charlie Garcia, Alberto Spinetta, or like all these people were. And I feel like the current political climate is really calling for an artist to be really like outspoken on it, I feel.
Of course, yeah. So I kind of wanted to move on and maybe, you know, like the whole purpose of the show is to encourage people to travel, to maybe step outside of their comfort zone, go experience a new country, experience a new culture. And Argentina just seems like an outdoor traveling paradise. Mm-hmm. And like, just researching, I was like, whoa, it's so big. Whoa, there's so many different places you can go. Obviously, Patagonia being the big one for people, you know, people looking to travel and experience things, you know, very remote. I think only 5% of the population lives in this massive area. That's just, you have the highlands, the lowlands, the lakes and rivers and mountains and deserts and flatlands. It's just like so much going on and so much nature as well. You know, where is in terms of the Argentinian psyche, where does Patagonia sit like?
I think it sits in a remote part, definitely. So the concentration of the population is in Buenos Aires. A vast majority of the country's population would be reside there. I mean, in the capital of Ring itself, it's 12 million people.
Yeah.
And then, like, from the suburbs where Catalina is from, there it's an even bigger city. I've never been to Patagonia myself, but I know Kian wants to talk about gauchos.
I do.
We can talk about them. So gauchos would be a farmer of Patagonia.
Yeah.
They would usually have a lot of cattle. Argentina is really well known for its beef and it's gorgeous. And it's a hard life. It's a poor one.
Yeah.
Farmers in Argentina don't earn what they earn here. Absolutely, they don't have the same machinery. They don't have the same technology.
It's a very nomadic, kind of almost cowboy lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's very kind of horse-based, isn't it? They all ride horses and rodeos and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It definitely is really nice to be able to see the country. Personally, I think my favorite part of the country were the glaciers. I went to Perito Moreno National Park. I went to a few different ones up in that region, in the Andes. And there are a few of the... They're one of the biggest remaining glaciers in the world.
Wow.
And they're slowly... No, sorry, rapidly melting. Rapidly melting. So it was really nice to be able to go and see them. It was a whole experience that I had this year with my brother and my granny. Very wholesome trip.
Yeah. I've been south. I've been to Bariloche before. It's a really nice place, to be fair. I went on my end of year trip with my classmates when I was like 17. And I was sick half the time, but we did get to see a lot. And we went skiing, and it's such a really nice, it's a really, really nice place. I'd love to go back. As a like an adult, I think.
Yeah.
And like be able to see more of it, because most of it was spent going out. There's a really great night scene in Bariloche, because it's built, the night scene is built for final year students who go there. So it's a whole thing. But I really want to go back and see it properly. And I want to travel around the whole of Patagonia. I feel like, I don't know, I haven't been there much, and I'd love to. I went to Puerto Madryn before. We saw the whales and the penguins.
Yeah,
and
this is one thing. Like, the nature is absolutely incredible. The whales, the penguins. The penguins? The little short little penguins?
Little short penguins. Penguinito Juanitos, they're actually called. A penguinito would be a diminutive, so it's to make it cuter sounding.
Small penguin.
And Juanito, and remember it, seeing it, I think it was in a zoo, or no, it was an aquarium, I think, because my uncle is called Juan. It's a name, it's the equivalent of John in Spanish, so it just makes me giggle every time I think of it. But the wildlife is very varied,
so
from region to region. Up in Iguazu Falls, it's a subtropical rainforest. So, my favorite. Sorry, Kian really liked this type of monkey that I sent him. It reminded him of himself, the capuchin monkey. And that actually, while we were there, they were in the process of relocating them to deeper into the rainforest because they were getting too fat. They were becoming obese because they would go and like steal people's food. They weren't fed.
I do that all the time.
They're small little monkeys and they're very sociable.
Yeah.
I think when my granny went there years and years ago, they got into her bag and stole her toilet roll.
Yeah.
They stole my food.
Yeah, they just steal your food.
Yeah.
But I think the butterflies there are amazing as well.
So
I remember this butterfly was on my shoelaces, I think, for about a kilometer while I walked, and it was very, very bright and colorful. Another one was on my hand later, and all the birds.
There's so many.
And that's just in one area, and then you go somewhere else and it's completely different.
Yeah.
So
like, I think there's, I can't remember the name of it now, sorry, but there's this one, this is one region of Argentina that's really lush and green. And even if you look up, like, the borders of the on the map are like where the tree line ends, and it's just like this little thumb in Argentina that's just like green, so green you can see it from space. This little
is it up
area.
North?
I think so. Yeah.
That's Misiones.
Yeah.
Because that's the part that merges with Brazil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the jungle where Iguazu Falls is, which is one of the biggest waterfalls in the world.
No, it's like I really want to go there because like the Andes, even like this is just so much going on. You have so much. Yeah. Like, what's the biggest mountain in South America? Angacona?
Aconcagua.
Aconcagua, yeah, that's the one. It's just somewhere I really just want to explore because I feel like you could spend so much time there.
Oh, you definitely can. Yeah. But then you come back here and I think, you know, our tallest mountain is Carrantuil.
Yeah.
Is it even a kilometer?
It's 1,000 something.
When I went to Argentina, I've been to Aconcagua, to the base of it, and the base alone is about 3 kilometers above sea level. So, you know, you feel the air is much thinner, you feel out of breath.
It's hard to breathe,
But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And they actually use mules to get up and down there because you can't bring cars. So they have these massive groups of mules that go running up and they all stop and drink in the freshwater streams. It's very cute.
Yeah. I feel like it is hard to breathe. I remember, I don't know where it was. I feel like it's Jujuy, also up north. Yeah. So hard to breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like such a almost untouched part of the world in a sense because it's so big and I'm a big climber. I'm a big surfer. I really like kind of the outdoor kind of vibe, and I've watched a lot of documentaries of people going, finding these undiscovered mountains, undiscovered climbs in like Argentina, Peru, and Chile, like all along this Andes section. And it just seems like and even just the natives, the native population that lives there and stuff that have been there for centuries. Even looking back, like I was reading about how the early settlers and there's these cave paintings from like 12,000 years ago that you could go visit as well. Like, I think there's just so much to talk about in terms of Argentina. So many places you can go, so much to see. I think a bucket list item for anyone who wants to kind of experience something completely different. And I think, especially in Ireland, it's something we're not very familiar with. Like, I think a lot of Irish people would not know a lot about South America.
No, not at all.
As a place to go. I think you get a lot of, here, you got to, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, sorry. Also, people, you know, maybe now would know a bit more that we're older, but especially as kids, people would just ask me, do you speak Argentinian? And Argentinian isn't a language at all.
Yeah.
We are ex-colony, we speak Spanish. So that was just, even that just comes to show, I suppose, the level of knowledge people have. I think now, especially after the World Cup, I mean, people learn a bit more about it.
Yeah.
Like, but I like, obviously, World Cup, incredible. Fair play to Argentina.
Yeah.
Like, I watched it, and I'm not a big football fan. I watched that, of course, like, really good. And I was, like, just researching this episode. I watched the goal of the century by Maradona in the 1986 World Cup, which is, like, you know, incredible too. So fair dues. But I feel like a lot of people think Argentina, football, Messi, and then that's where it stops.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more going on there.
So much
like,
more.
Like, incredible, so incredible nation.
That is unfortunately the case, I feel like. To be fair, like, in fairness, I feel like over time, and like, Western society, if I'm talking right, our view of everything is so Eurocentric, or obviously, like, USA-centric.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying, like, I feel like, obviously, southern countries or third world countries or like developing countries, as we call them, unfortunately, like their people don't know them as much. I've been asked if I speak Brazilian or Portuguese.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
I'm not even from Brazil. Brazilian's not a language. I know. I feel like it's sad to an extent that we have such a Eurocentric approach to most things, including ours, because say. I feel like we know, I grew up knowing the Beatles and I grew up knowing the Rolling Stones, but I feel like European people, like American people, you don't grow up knowing our artists, for instance, and the language barrier is still there, and I learned it, like, and I feel like it'd be so interesting, and it leads to like such a wonderful exchange, cultural exchange, if we took the time to like learn more about other cultures, and I talk about myself as well, because I'm not that knowledgeable in other cultures, and I feel like it's really important to like take the time and really get to know something, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel like that's what I'm trying to achieve a little bit with this show, is just be like, oh, do you know, there's world outside of Ireland, but also the world comes to Cork as well. And I think a lot of people wouldn't notice that, like, even, you know, and, you know, obviously, like, just amazing. So thank you for sharing your culture. It's just so much fun. Before we go, I'd like to just, you know, remind people, International Women's Day today, and also very important referendum going on. So I'm not going to speak either way in it, but just I'd encourage anyone out there who can vote to vote, because your voice matters. I think that's just an important message to remind people of, because I almost forgot it was on today, but I placed my vote on this morning. So yeah, thanks for coming on, guys, and sharing the culture. Is there a way we say bye specifically?
We say ciao.
Even though it's a Spanish.
And then a kiss on the cheek, and then you turn away and go. So thanks for having us. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ciao, ciao.
I'm gonna finish out with this song that Amy sent on. Primavera.
Oh, Primavera Porteño.
That's the one.
We can't talk about Argentina and not say it's the birthplace of tango.
Yes, oh, tango. Yeah. So, bit of tango music on a Friday morning to finish you out. So so I'm going to play this song here. I'll be back next week. Follow the show at international_index. And ciao, ciao.